Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody, and I'm so excited. I always get excited with our Playboy Playmate series. So, who do we have, Johnny?
Donna Perry.
Hi, I love Donna. Hi, Donna. Miss November 19. Hi, Miss November 1994, correct?
Yes, that is me.
And that was like right after me. So we've known each other for, I think, 27 years now. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that crazy? Time flies.
Yes. Time flies when you're having fun. So everybody, all of you listeners, you're going to have an exciting hour finding out what makes this playmate tick, how she even became a Playboy playmate. And that's my number one question, because that's the question I always got more than any other question is, how did you become a Playboy playmate? And so I thought, let's do a show and start off with that question every time, because it is super interesting. Everybody has a different story. And then we get into, you know, how it was, how did your family take it? What was your experience like? And then, you know, the ins and outs and the highs and the lows. I don't know if there was any lows for you, but we're going to find out. So, okay. Thank you for joining us. And you've met Donna before, everybody, because if you've been listening, we did a wonderful show for Alexis Vogel, our
that was wonderful.
Thank you. The makeup artist. And we had a medium on, and she was the makeup artist for Playboy, and we just all loved her. She touched our lives. So when I asked the Playboy Playmate, every single person said, I'm there. And we had 8 people, including you, on the air all at once. And it just was so
that
smooth.
That was kind of crazy, but it was great.
Yeah. Wasn't it? But you know what? If anybody could do that, it would be the Playboy Playmates, because we are so used to interviewing and radio, television, everything. And Johnny, he was blown away by it, like how smooth it went. Weren't you, Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. I mean, that's why, you know, I've been putting, I have played with The Sims 4. I don't know if you've heard of it, Donna, but I have it. And basically, I've been putting all the playmates in a house, living in the same house. You're basically, just so you know, Donna, you're on it. And you're living in a house with Barbara, Victoria Valentino, Christina Richters, Carrie Lynn Doss, Devin DeVasquez, Renee Tennyson,
awesome.
And I think there's a couple of others. It's about, I think it was about
Elka.
Elka's in
Martin,
there too.
Shauna Sand.
Yes.
All
Helena
of those things he mentioned. Okay.
It went off without a hitch. It just was a nice move and wonderful to just to hear everybody talking about her and how wonderful she was. It was great. It was great.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it and were a part of that. And all of those things that Johnny mentioned, we've had on the show. Maybe not for this series, but we've had them come on for their complimentary psychic readings and so on. So we're getting a great group of playmates involved with Life, Laughter, Happiness, our positive variety show. And so now let's start our interview with Donna Perry. And you are like a high fashion. You were a high fashion model. It says that you're
5'11". Yeah, I actually started out as high fashion. I did the whole New York. I did Tokyo. I did Paris. I did Milan. I got to do a lot of higher fashion style things. Near the end, though, it was kind of like I was never going to be like Kate Moss, because my boobs are too big, and they kept telling me, you know, would you do a reduction? I'm like, dude, people pay big money for these things. No thanks.
I mean, and then all the scars.
Yeah. So, you know, being based in LA, I did a lot of you know, swimsuits. I was actually Elle McPherson's body double for whenever she did a calendar, I would do her body double stuff for her to see what that swimsuit she wanted.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you do have, she has such a perfect body and you do, it's a special body, like everything, like the shoulders are exactly symmetrical. Yes. Very athletic. Yep. Very.
So back then so that was kind of cool. And actually, since I know we're leading into the question of how I became a Playboy Playmate, I was actually shooting a Speedo campaign. And the photographer was a really good friend of mine. We had shot together many times throughout the years. And he's like, you know, I'm really trying to become a photographer for Playboy, but they're sending me these girls that are, you know, just want to be in Playboy and have no idea what they're doing in front of the camera. So I'm not getting great pictures out of it. Would you consider, you know, posing for me? I said, well, I was married at the time. So I was like, I need to talk to my husband first because... You know, nudity,
yes.
And I didn't know how he was going to do. And so I asked him, and he's like, it's not like you're going to be in the magazine. You don't know who's going to see it. It could help, you know, some other way. I'm like, okay. So I had the little test shoot where you send in the Polaroids of you in, a, you know, some sort of lingerie and then topless so they can see whatever. So then I got they got the okay. Okay, yeah, let's test shoot her. So we did this great test shoot, and I was home and the phone rings 3 weeks later and it's Marilyn Grabowski going, congratulations, you're going to be Miss November 94. And I'm looking at my husband going, not the magazine, huh, babe?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. But you really didn't even do the test shoot, or you sent in the test shoot.
Well, we did the test shoot, but it was for him to show how he can actually photograph women. It was because it was so hard to work with girls who don't know what to do in front of the camera, but I've been doing it for years. So it was a little easier for me. So his, you know, photography skills were brought up more. So it helped him. And then it helped me. Actually, I found out that he was cut after that. I felt so bad.
Understand. So that is really a different story than I've ever heard before at all. Wow.
Yeah.
So when Marilyn called you up and said you're going to be Miss November, then what did your husband say then?
Well, then he was like, sweet. Like, at first it was like, this is great. And he actually, as far as I knew at the time, didn't have a problem. I'd walk into the ER where he was working, and he's got my magazine open, full centerfold. I'm like, okay, I just walked in naked. How you doing?
Yeah, and he's so proud, and that's so normal.
Yeah, it was fine. And then, it was a great experience. It was kind of weird, though, because I wasn't expecting it. I just thought, oh, you know, they like a certain type, because I always had this in my head. There was a certain type they liked. And I was not that type. And then they're like, oh, congratulations. I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yes. Because, we do have that misconception. But when you look through, say, the Playmate book, then you see, there's tiny, there's medium, there's, you know,
there's
big
tall,
cup size.
There's
like, So many different kinds.
Four or five of us were 5'10 or taller. In 1994.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
high
it was a very tall year. Yeah.
Wow, I love that. So, okay, you were coming in when Hef was married. So you got Playboy because you had the looks, you had the brains, because Hef does look at what's inside of us.
Everything.
Definitely spends time. Everything. So, okay, I have to ask you, though, when Marilyn called you to say, okay, you're going to be Miss November, just from those test shots, I had to shoot my whole centerfold for a whole week, and then Hef said yes or no. So I didn't even know the whole centerfold shoot that if I was going to make it or not. And all of the girls before me around the time that I was talking to, it was that way for all of them. And I think they did change it to where you knew so you could kind of rest easy and know. But can you believe how you had to do that? And you want it so badly, and you're like, and sometimes you say no after the whole centerfold was shot.
I know, and the centerfold itself takes like 7 to 10 days.
Right. And then he would say yes or no to that. And if he said yes to the centerfold, then you would go back and shoot on a small camera the rest of the layout. So he just said from the test shoot, you were going to be Miss November, and then you just then shot it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Okay,
go ahead.
I was just going to, we talked about the husband at the time, how he felt about it, but what about the rest of the family? Because, you know, you're probably very young, in your early 20s, and, you know, it's sometimes hard to tell your mom or your dad. How was that for you?
I waited until September to tell them. So my whole layout was done, and October is when it was being released, right, because it always comes out the month before. So I waited till September.
Right.
So everything was done. There was nothing they can do. It's not going back. And I was like, so I just wanted to let you guys know, because my dad was a professor at USC and UCLA, and I just knew that somebody would say something to him, and I didn't want him to find out that way. So I told them, and they're like, okay. My dad didn't really say much. He was proud because I sent him a headshot, and he put it on his desk at work. But when I told them, my mom... first question out of her mouth was like, oh, so does that mean you're doing porn now?
Oh, no.
I'm like, no. No. You got the wrong ideas. So they were like, I want to see the magazine, but can you black out all the nudity? I'm like, okay, I'll black out my centerfold. And she goes, no. When you send the magazine, I don't want to see any news. I don't want to actually open and see things. Can you block out the whole magazine? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
No
Pamela
way.
Anderson was in it. It took me almost 2 hours to black out everything, including cartoons. That's how my parents were. Like, no nudity could be seen, but they wanted to see it.
Wow.
So I sat there and I blacked out everything with a Sharpie, and I sent it to them. My dad's like, wow, it was really nice. My mom's like, I didn't realize they showed so much. I'm like, oh, that's nothing if kids look at some of those other magazines that are around. I go, it's really nice. And then, you know, that was kind of like, okay, well, that's enough. We're not going to talk about it anymore, but congratulations. And so it's not like it's not like something we talk about a lot, but they weren't like full anti. Yeah.
That
was
hard to tell
them. Yeah, because we're a very Christian family growing up.
So is my mom. My mom and dad were different entities, though, not living together. My dad was so proud, but mom had her reservations, too.
Yeah.
But then when they get to know the whole picture and
the whole,
met half.
Exactly.
And that made her feel so good. So she saw it was more like a family.
Yeah. Do you remember back in, I want to say, early 2000-ish, when the can't remember which theater it was, but they did a movie or a showing of Heft Life or whatever, but kind of similar to what's on Amazon Prime right now. But it was like
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. So good. You need to watch that. But so my mom and dad actually went because they were curious, because now I was part of this. They wanted to understand it. And she was like, wow, he was actually a very strong entity for the times. I mean, he was the first one that let black people into the Playboy clubs, and there was a lot of stuff. And she was like, wow, that's really interesting. It's actually, he was a very, very good man. Like,
I want to comment on that.
Right.
You know, many years ago, there was, sorry if I cut anybody off, but many years ago, they had a list of the top 100 greatest Americans of all time. These are people like, you know, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, you know, Abraham Lincoln, the obvious choices. And basically what they did was they had like 100 of them, and then they basically, they would order them down, like is what they would do. And I think it was either 50 or it was like, you know, 100. Anyway, so on the list was Hugh Hefner.
Yes.
They put Hugh Hefner on the list, and And it was interesting because, I mean, he got on the list of people like, I mean, you know, these are people like, I mean, other people like Rosa Parks and Abraham, you know.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
well,
he was
up
there.
Well, it doesn't surprise
me.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
What he's done, the stuff that nobody really knew about, all that people think is, oh, Playboy is all about naked women. And that's not what he was all about. Yes, it was celebrating beautiful women and showing their strength and how a woman can be very strong yet still beautiful and a lot of femininity. But he was also pro all these things that no one really wanted to touch. He was pro, you know, the LGBT. He was huge on that. He was big on, you know, black rights. He was, I mean, there's a lot of things that people didn't know. So reading it, I remember when that came out, but reading it, and I think that's part of why my parents went to this showing, was that he wasn't just that. He was actually this great humanitarian type person.
That's right. I'm so glad that they saw that and realized
yeah.
that. That's so important to
yeah.
me, too, that people do know that. And also that he, even yeah. in the court, he has it to where it is, Playboy is art. And not
yes.
under the category of porn. Yes.
No, exactly.
It is. It's beautiful
yes.
art. And who shot it, yours? Who was the photographer? Arnie Freitag?
Arnie was the majority of mine. No, actually, I think Arnie shot everything of mine, but I was also in August of 94 for the Models of Milan, and that Steve Weta shot that shot.
How was it different? How did they differ in your mind?
For me, I think maybe it was just because I had a better relationship because I was working so much with Arnie. He was a lot more laid back. He was like cruising. He was like, hey, it's cool. Steve was very professional, very get to where we need to go, and this is how we're going to do it. And I mean, I had no problem with it because I had already worked with many photographers like that, so it wasn't a problem for me. And he was,
right.
there wasn't like he wasn't nice or anything, but it wasn't like shooting with Arnie, who was a bit more like, hey, how's it going? Like, we were friends, but we had already built a rapport. It wasn't, I hadn't built that with Steve Weta, who's one of, probably, he's still an amazing photographer. He lives in Bali. Have you seen his photos?
Oh, yes.
There?
I
so
follow.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
on
Instagram. I think that is
just
so
gorgeous.
Cool that he just picked up and moved over there and, you know, living
yeah.
another dream that he had. How wonderful. I was just wondering if you felt like the photography was different. The actual photography
yeah.
wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was a little different. They had different styles. But they're both so good. And what was so great about Arnie is I got a lot of jobs on the outside from Arnie because he shot like the Snap-on tool and all these different kind of ads and posters too. So that was good. But okay, tell us about your centerfold. What was the decor? What was the artistry? What was it like? Were you a school girl?
No, the main for me was I was a golfer.
Oh, yes, I remember. I loved it.
Yep. I was the first
Isn't that
golfer,
cool?
And, right? And then I had to wear cleats in my centerfold, but yet I was head-to-toe centerfold, but they had to pull it back. And if you look in my centerfold, you can see one of the lights that have the jealousy on front of it, the little plastic.
Yes.
You can fit in the shot because they had to pull back so far so that it could fit into the into the
you're tall.
Shot.
Well, can you imagine if you had high heels?
You don't want to cut your legs off in a weird spot because then that's going to look odd. So they needed head to toe. So I'm literally top of the page to the bottom of the page. So it was kind of funny, but they had to rework it.
Yeah, that's really funny. Is that what? And they had you in flat shoes too. Can you imagine
yeah.
if they had you in high heels? You would not even be in the frame.
Would not have worked
Donna,
at all.
That. Funny. And isn't that cool how they would come up with themes and how, you know, the magazine evolved and then it was just kind
yes.
of not so directed with a theme.
No,
and I just love the themes.
Like, I did too. I liked that they stuck with something, and it was more coherent. Like everything kind of blended in. I had a couple of shots in my centerfold that weren't the golf theme, just to kind of, I know they did that anyway with everybody, but the basic theme all the way through. I mean, I got to meet Jack Nicklaus. I met Payne Stewart. I met Ben Crenshaw. I even met, you know, I met a lot of the golfers. I met Al Pacino, who was there golfing the same day I went down. And I mean, it was really nice. I think the way they did it was really nice because I'm thinking, I don't golf. Why are we doing golf? I don't golf. And they're like, no, this will be great. I'm like, okay. And then, of course, you know, I was an athlete in high school and college. So they're like, okay, we're going to have you, like, actually be playing golf. I'm like, okay. This will be interesting. And I did a few tournaments, and I came in, like, in the top three. And I'm like, they were like, whoa,
wow.
What's your handicap? And I'm like, my handicap is I don't play golf.
That is so amazing. I know I did read that you played college volleyball, which is amazing.
I did. I made all state. And
wow.
Yeah, I loved it.
What position?
I had children and stopped.
Yes, that's the sad part. You stop school and then you stop the sport. But I took my daughter to a college volleyball in Long Beach, the Long Beach team. And
awesome.
Oh, it was super exciting. Oh, yeah, I played it in high school, so I loved it. But it just, were you a spiker or what position did you play?
Yeah, I was front row. Like, the way they rotated it was three in the back, three in the front. And I would start, like, they always wanted me to serve the ball because I had a great serve. And then I would switch real quick with one of the girls in the front as soon as I served because they wanted
awesome.
Me to serve.
So, I bet you have some amazing memories that just are etched in your memory with that. I love sports.
Yeah,
so amazing.
I love sports and I love playing. I used to get a lot of the coaches on the other team going, you're playing for the wrong team. You need to come play with me. I was like, no.
Awesome. Wow.
I mean,
but that's your
perk.
That was your centerfold perk, you know, that you got
yeah.
all the golf tournaments. You probably made a lot of money with different golf events, and that was so cool. Like,
yeah.
I was the Christmas,
yeah.
so I did all the Christmas parties and made buku with, you know, doing that. And
yep.
the Playboy promotions, yep. Playmate promotions knew how to get the big money for us, which was amazing because a lot of girls come to LA, they want to be a model, and they're struggling so much. But
yeah.
did you have the experience to where when you came out in Playboy, then just everybody wanted to book you?
I got a lot of work. The only negative, and I'll never forget this, is before my issue was released, I had shot a test for Men's Health magazine, and for the cover shot, and came down between me and another girl, and my issue came out, and I got a phone call that said, thanks, but no thanks, we've already seen all of you.
Oh, how rude.
Yeah, so I didn't get that.
That was a rude comment.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a rude comment.
We've seen all of you. And I'm like, all right, well, okay. So someone else has the cover. But that was the only negative for me, at least in the whole thing. That was the only thing that ever was negative about it. Other than that, I didn't have a problem. I mean.
Right.
I did this great.
Yeah.
I did a video with Al Scapes, I think that's what his name was. Why can't I remember? I think that's what it was. And I did a Japanese book. Because actually, here's a little fun little tidbit. I was the first girl in Japan that showed full nudity from top to bottom. Because they used to not let you see the pubic hair, right? You couldn't see that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so I was the first girl in Japan. But
Because I remember they would have us shoot with the bottoms on just four
yep.
of those countries. That yes, I think China too,
yep.
and yes,
yeah.
Wow. And the
that
is so funny about when you said that there is a light in the background of your centerfold with the gel on it.
Yes.
That happened
yes.
to me, but not with my centerfold. It happened in my poster, and forever it's in there in my poster.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
And it's so crazy that Playboy actually, I don't know if they missed it or they didn't care, but I mean, they're so amazing, but they missed that.
Isn't that funny?
I couldn't believe it, actually.
That's funny. Here's one more little fun fact for mine, which not everybody knows. So my issue, I think, was Pamela Anderson's ninth cover. So they, when they printed my centerfold, they only make, you know, they do a printing and it's like whatever it is, however many thousands they print. Well, it sold out, so they had to do a second printing. Whoever was redoing it forgot to put in my printed centerfold signature. So there's magazines out there in the second printing that doesn't have the printed signature on the centerfold.
Wow.
Yeah, so when you get, isn't that funny? I was like, oh, that's not good. I don't think they want that.
I love it.
So is that worth a lot of money?
I love. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it would be worth more, I'm sure. It's just funny to me that they missed that. That's like a huge thing. That's part of the centerfold. You have a signature across the wherever, but the second printing, someone didn't put it in, and it doesn't have it.
Well, I think it's cool how you sold out. I mean, I think that in itself is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. That tidbit.
At the time, it was the highest selling magazine. Then I think the last issue that Anna Nicole Smith beat us. So I'm the second. It wasn't because of me, but it was her. But I was in that magazine, so I'm like, woohoo!
But still, that is so much promotion for you and just so much great exposure for you, right?
That was great.
Wonderful.
Totally. And then because I was the first in Japan to show pubic hair, I got the cover over Pamela Anderson.
Awesome.
I was super
photogenic.
It was great.
You're so photogenic. I've always thought that, like, perfectly symmetrical face and the lips, and even your selfies that you do on Instagram are just absolutely gorgeous. So I love that. Are there any other Playboy jobs, like different kinds of issues and special jobs? Did you travel? What stood out? There must be.
Oh gosh! Well,
is there one that
I got to
stood
go,
out to you?
Oh gosh, I think it would probably be Japan. When I went to Japan, I went with Heather Kozar, and I got to do what they call the kart racing, which is like the Formula One style racing. They were having a big thing there, and I got to meet Konishi, which is the big sumo wrestler. And we got to sit, and I got to sit in a pacer car, and we got to drive around. I'm like, this is so cool. I think that was probably the most memorable, that one. And then when I went to Rio de Janeiro for a big convention thing down there, that one was so
cool.
But it was one of those that sticks in my mind because I had to have an escort with the military to walk across the street to make sure I was okay. Nobody bothered me, except that they're like 12-year-olds with guns. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel more comfortable about this or not, but I don't.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I did go before Playboy. I went there just for a vacation, Rio de Janeiro, and it is scary when you see they're all in fatigues with machine guns.
And they're little boys.
They are.
Yeah.
And it is crazy. But when you're with Playboy, you feel like extra security because they do. I remember being in Russia and they had that same kind of fatigue with the machine guns, but each playmate had to have a security guard outside of their door standing the whole night while they were sleeping. And so they really cared a lot about security, which is amazing.
Which was great because if you think about it, you know, if something happens, that's on them, not, you know. And they need a protection. You never know. I mean, I've never had a problem. I didn't have anybody get all wild and crazy or anything like that.
Me neither.
It's nice that it's there, you know, thank goodness. You know, you always hear some of the girls get crazy things that happen, but
I was like, well, I never had a problem.
Me neither. And did they put you so with one other playmate to do all of, walk around the offices
yeah.
and meet all of the different departments? Was there one
yeah.
playmate? They put me with one, Echo, and who was yours?
Mine was always probably Julie Fellini.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Did you guys stay close?
She's like my best friend now. She's
actually
the godmother
yeah.
of my kids.
Oh, wow. Yes, I love her. I got
yeah.
to go with her to Japan. So, yeah, you
oh, nice.
Really form wonderful friendships, don't you, with the Playmate sisters?
Yeah. You really can't help it. It's just, I think no matter what.
Are you enjoying coming?
Oh,
go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I thought
just
that
saying,
you were done.
No, I just was going to say that, you know, with Playboy, there's a certain, it's, I don't want to call it a sorority, but I think that's the best way to describe it, that we have our own little sorority. There's only a certain amount of girls that are allowed in. This is our little group.
I always call it a sorority. I do, because it is. I feel like it really is.
I was going to say something about this. It seems that way, but only because of, like, you know, I mean, if you, once you become good friends with one, you know, you become good friends with everybody. It seems like you were all really close. It's like, there was this, I don't know if you were there or not, but I mean, Barbara, one time I saw a video of her, she was on this thing where she was having like 60 other playmates, her and Gazina and other playmates, 60 playmates, were having their picture taken. And it's like, wow, you know,
I don't know, Donna, were you there for the 60th anniversary? Or were you still in Hawaii?
I think I was in Hawaii. I missed it.
Yeah.
I
well,
was there
you
for
know
the,
what? They probably wanted you, of course. They would want you there, but it was so funny. They were not even, they only paid us $60 to be a part of that. They said the budget was not very high, so 60 playmates, $60, and that's it. So they weren't paying for airfare, so a lot of the playmates who were living out of town really couldn't take part, so I understand.
No.
But that was cool. Yeah, and Johnny's starting to realize how close we are. We're not a group of jealous girls. We all have our own month, our own, you know, year.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to fight over. There's nothing.
No, and it's funny because it's generational. Because I'm friends with girls from the 60s and the 70s. It's like you just build a relationship. You have a common, you know, there's a common thing for us.
Yeah.
That Playboy playmate Victoria Valentino says that Devin DeVasquez is her adopted daughter. Apparently, Devin DeVasquez lost her mom early, and apparently, you know, Victoria Valentina, so they're both playmates, they became sort of a mother and a daughter, you know.
Yeah,
Victoria
Valentina.
Victoria lived in Altadena, real close to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's
and
a wonderful
so
lady.
Yeah.
I love Tina, too.
Yep, she
I
lives right by
ladies.
Me, too.
So how is it, you just moved back to Los Angeles area from Hawaii,
yes.
and I remember
yes.
you were just doing that when you came on our show before. How is that? Are you missing Hawaii? How is it being back?
No, I'm not really missing Hawaii. I miss my friends and the family that I have there. I miss kind of the food. You know what the biggest thing I miss is the fresh fish, which you just can't get the good fish here yet. But I think overall, I love it.
Oh, good.
I love being back.
And I want to see more of you, too. I would love to see more of you. Yes.
I would love to, too. I know that it would have been hard because you were just in Seattle for this whole COVID thing. Was that right?
Well, yes. I had to go see my mom. Yes, I went to see her. They don't live in Seattle anymore, unfortunately. They live in 3 hours in Nowheresville. But the main thing was to see her. Yeah. So we did that. And it was a little risky flying at that time, but my mom has an underlying lung disease she had already. And that is really sad. That limits your life. It shortens your life a lot. So I felt it was really important to see her. So we did that. But I didn't know you had family in Hawaii. So that must be why you were living there.
I moved because my ex-husband's family is there. And we just had my son. And I just was like, you know what? I think it would be a nicer area to go and get... I just wanted to make sure that my kid had the best start and it wasn't scary and I didn't have to worry about, you know, whatever, because Hawaii is like the melting pot, the easiest place. You know, you didn't worry too much because, I mean, they're on an island and you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. And there's just a different vibe. The vibe in Hawaii is everyone's family. You go to someone's house, you bring food. It's automatic. So, like, when I go to people's houses, I bring stuff. They're like, you didn't need to bring this. I go, I'm from Hawaii. You go to someone's house, you know, to hang out or, you know, drinks, you bring food. You bring something. You don't ever go to anybody's house empty-handed. Everyone is your family.
I love that culture.
Yeah.
I love that. The minute
my
I step off the plane there. That wonderful upbringing and the beautiful water. Did you surf? What did you love doing there?
No, I love doing the hike mostly because I gained so much weight with children that I don't like being in a bathing suit. But I love doing the hikes and I like, you know, hanging out at the beach with my kids and watching them. They were the surfers and the bodyboarders and the boogie boards. That was their thing, and I loved just being part of that and watching them.
That's awesome. Well, how do they feel? So you have two sons and a girl, correct?
Yes, and a daughter.
How do they feel? How do they feel about Playboy?
They think it's great. My twin boy, the 15-year-old, wears my Playboy shirts. You know those button downs we got for the 45th anniversary convention we did? It was down at the
I don't remember them. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So we got that button down shirt. One was. The one was black with the gold bunnies, and the other one was the covered.
Yeah.
Do you remember getting
that
shirt?
Oh, I have
this
wrong.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so I have them, and my son wears them to school.
He's proud. Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, he's totally proud.
And, okay, so you were saying you have twins, and how old are they?
Yeah, 15.
The twins. 15.
Between
okay.
15 and
then,
my oldest is 24.
Wow. So you were a very young mom. And how did you juggle that? Because after Playboy, you must have modeled quite a bit for years
I
after
still
that.
Modeled, even after my son was born, because I got pregnant a year after Playboy and had my son. He was born in 95, December. So I got.
I didn't even know. Nobody would even know. It didn't hurt you at all.
No, I had him, and within a month, I was back to being able to, I wouldn't have done any photo shoots unless they were going to promise me to Photoshop my stretch marks, but I could still go do, like, clothing was no problem, so I still was doing a lot of modeling, but it just, I wasn't doing nude modeling just because the body just changes a lot when you have kids.
Yes.
And
but it's okay. Because
it's okay.
You have something
I
really good to show
for it. If I had it always says, you know, the people always ask you, so would you give up your kids if you could have your body back? I go, oh, hell no. I'm all right.
No way. They
no
must
way.
Not know about motherhood. I mean, whoever asked that does not understand motherhood. No way.
No.
No.
Like, no, I'm
and
good.
Did you take part in the Easter, going up to the mansion and bringing your kids up there for Easter?
I never got to do it because we were already in Hawaii by this point.
Yeah, but that was just another great point that Hef just made that nice for mom.
Yeah, they did. They did a lot of great family things because a lot of the girls, you know, unfortunately became single moms. I was one of them. So it was really nice to have someplace to go and be with family, you know, in our own little world of family. It was nice to have something for you and your kids and everybody to enjoy.
I agree. And Oh, there's this other point that I wanted to make. Sometimes the girls who are actually from California or from LA, which I know you grew up there, they spend a lot of time at the mansion because, you know, people who are out of town shooting, they fly them in. They don't send them to a hotel. You're staying at the Playboy Mansion and you have all that experience. Yeah. So how was that with you? Did you get to stay at the mansion overnight ever?
I actually, when you remember the Northridge earthquake?
Oh,
in 1994, of January 94, that was when I was trying to be spinning my centerfold. So it was taking me 3 hours in and 3 hours out because I lived in Valencia. So there was only one road in and one road out because the overpass collapsed. So they just told me, you know what, stay at the mansion. And I was like, hey, babe, I'm staying at the mansion for the week. He goes, am I coming? Nope. Sorry, no boys.
Oh, that is awesome. I'm so glad you were able to.
Yeah, so I got to stay for the week. The coolest part, though, is you go into the kitchen to get food, and I'm like, oh, what was for dinner tonight? He goes, oh, we had this. I go, oh, can I just have some of that warmed up? He goes, no, that's not how it works. You tell me what you want, and I'll make it for you. And I was the smart ass. I'm like, well, I want a T-bone steak and some shrimp scampi. He goes, how do you want your steak? I went, wait, really? I want it rare. Okay, this is great. And that's what I had for dinner.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember.
No, it was amazing. Go ahead. Yeah.
I remember when Candace was on. I think it was Candace Jordan was on, and she said that they had like 24/7 room service that you could like at 2 o'clock in the morning you could call down to the butler and everything.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
24 hours butler service.
And they always had the three doors of cookies. The warming jars with the cookies.
And Alexa's made me bring the cookies to every morning for the crew. Yeah, that was part of it. I love that.
The big cookie jars.
Oh,
That's so funny.
I'm so glad you were able to do that. And you know what is so funny? There must have been an earthquake in 92 as well, because that is where I experienced my very first earthquake, too. I was in a little cottage at the mansion. And I sat up and the whole cottage was shaking and rolling basically in like waves.
Yep.
It was so weird and I was in bed. So we both experienced earthquakes at the mansion during our shoots. How funny is that?
It was great. I mean, you know, it's LA.
Yes.
My kids are like, I can't wait to feel an earthquake. I'm like, yeah, wait till it happens.
That's awesome. So, wow, it seems like that you just had the best experience. Nothing bad. No lows.
No, I had a great experience at all. I mean, there was no negativity. I mean, I don't think that I've ever had anyone, and no spite, no jealousy, no nothing. I mean, it was just everyone had their own thing. When I was at the mansion, it was Becky De Los Santos and Shay Mark staying at the same time when they were shooting their centerfolds.
Oh, yes. And I love those girls, too. So many memories.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there a lot, though? There's a lot of girls that have just dropped off the face of the earth, and I've never seen them again.
Yeah. Well, one of the girls in our year, Kelly Gallagher, she's a very well-known high-end interior designer.
I know that so well. I became really good friends with her. Yes, and she said, Barbara, her real name is Kelly Wurstler. She doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
She changed it to Gallagher to do her layout. She was so pretty. Oh, that face. And she said, I'm just doing this to pay off my school loans. And I would go over to her apartment and she would show me her blueprints, and she was already working on the architect, and I mean, she became huge. And I opened a very high-end magazine one day, and I saw a layout of all of her decor, interior designs, and then she has her own on Melrose, big, huge building on Melrose.
Oh, yeah.
Thought, wow, she really made it. I'm so proud of her, but doesn't want anything to do really with Playboy, but I remember she went to Maui with us too. The Maui Playmate Challenge, she went and she had to have an umbrella. She wouldn't let one ray of sun get on her skin, her face, her body at all. She was like pure ivory snow skin. And I'm like, well, that's funny that they chose you for this. She's like, I don't even know why they did. I told them, no sun.
No, I know. She was funny, but she was always really, really nice. And you could tell this was not her. Not her, what do you call it? This was not her final, like, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to go into modeling. This wasn't what she was doing it for. She was doing it, yes, for herself to do it, but it was more for, you know, an end game for her, for her next project, which was interior design.
I do know that, like, one of the stories that I've heard is Carrie Kendall. I mean, Carrie Kendall, you know, she said, I want to do Playboy, and then Penthouse approached her. Right before she was going to do Playboy, he says, no, I want to do Playboy. She turned down Penthouse to do Playboy. I don't know if you know Carrie Kendall or not, but.
Yeah, I know Carrie. That was her thing, but no, she was very adamant about what she wanted. She wasn't, hold on for a second. She's not a Penthouse girl. Let's just put it that way.
No, of course that's way different. It's not even the same at all. I mean, show it all. I mean,
that's where you cross that line. Yeah, that's all right. I mean, you know, I don't have any judgment. Okay. You know, I just was in Mexico and I worked with a bunch of the WWEs, the Lucha Libres, and I worked with UFC. And Jessie James, she came, who's a retired porn star, right? And she was the nicest person. So it's like, you know, I don't judge anybody for what they did. You do you.
No,
just be a good
I also don't think it was, if you don't get Playboy, you go do that. It wasn't really that. It's like
it wasn't.
If you don't get Playboy, you just don't do anything.
You just
wasn't like that. Yeah. Yeah, and they do it for a reason too, because they didn't even want to do Playboy because they are dancers, they're exotic dancers, and when they did Penthouse, it would give them a headliner, a huge headliner, and they'd make so much more money. It's a total different thing. It's a completely different entity, different thing.
Yeah,
totally. Game. That is a good way to put it. Yes.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry. You said that you were.
Sorry.
That's okay. That you were married to a gentleman, and then that didn't work out. But is that the one that you had all your children with?
Yep, same one. We were together for 14 years.
Okay, and so then, but how long have you been married to? A second. Are you married now?
For 14 years.
Okay. Okay. So just one.
I've had one boyfriend. He's my ex-husband. That's it.
Okay, and you're still probably good friends, and that's who your children might be missing if he's in. No. Okay.
No, I can't stand. I can't stand him. No, we're not friends.
You're not missing him.
No, not missing him. We're not friends.
Okay.
He's.
And, okay, I want to ask you if you still use your perk today, I call it the Playboy perk, where we do get perks. If people find out that we're Playmates, we get a lot of perks and special attention and things like that. Do you ever use the Playboy name anymore these days?
No, not really. I mean, every now and then people will be like, you know, some people ask, you did modeling. What's your most famous modeling? I'm like, oh, really? You want the most famous? I mean, I've been in big magazines, Vogue and Marie Claire and all these other magazines. But I'm like, okay, well, you don't really know me in those because I'm in the ads, but here's that. And they're like, shut up. That's so cool. You know, I noticed that people become nicer, which is very strange because a lot of women get petty. But it just seems like everyone is really nice about it. So I'd say that you get treated a little nicer when people are told.
Yes,
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Wow. So that's different than a lot of playmates, because some people were just like nobody. They had never really modeled. They had just been maybe a few modeling jobs. And then instant celebrityism, but you already had a taste of that. You were a high fashion model. So it was just almost just another job. But the Playboy brand is so powerful. What do you think now about Playboy being over? It's just not over on online, though.
No more paper.
Yeah.
No more paper.
No more paper.
I think that's sad. There's no more. It's like a rite of passage. You made it this far, and now all you have is a digital copy instead of an actual hard copy. Like, my kids think it's so cool. I mean, they're like, I don't want to see you naked or anything. Don't get me wrong, but you can't throw that magazine out. I want that because that's a part of you. And you can't throw, like, my kids have gone through my memorabilia, and they're like, okay, you can't sell this, and you can't sell that, and you can't sell this and that, because they're proud of it. But it's kind of like, but hey.
Not tangible for them. They have to print something out. Yes, it is the end of an era. We are so blessed, I feel, to have been a part of it.
Yes. And I'm really glad it happened after Hef passed away, because I think that would have killed him to have it.
It would have. He just wanted to hang on as long as he could, and I'm glad he did.
Exactly. And I think that everything in it, you know, it is what it is. It happens, and, you know, a lot of companies are changing the way things are being done. It's just sad that now there's not – I really believe that it's going to lose its – oh, what's the word? Now I can't even think. You know, it's going to lose its specialness, I guess. You know, that's not a word, but you know what I mean? It's going to lose that.
Yes.
Because you no longer can, like, actually hold it. I can't hold this picture anymore. I can't hold this magazine. It's now all just online. It's not physical anymore. It's just more on the screen.
It's going to make our don't you think?
I have a feeling that what's going to happen is that people are going to be able to request it, print it out. The only reason I say that is everybody is sort of like, you know how they were talking about Playboy, stop doing nudity. You know, I mean, it's sort of like that. This doesn't sound like the whole digital thing was a good sell. It really didn't sound like it went over real well. It was a good sell. And I think that somehow everyone's going to be like, what? What?
I really, really hope that it goes back, that this doesn't stick, that they realize that, okay, maybe that wasn't the greatest idea. Maybe we shouldn't do it this way. Maybe we should do whatever it is. I mean, because they would rather compete with Maxim than they would Penthouse. So.
Yeah, maybe they don't have enough money to keep producing it on paper.
No, which sucks.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Yes. But hey, we were there where they had a lot of money. They
we
had
got
a
it.
Lot. Sending us all over the world like that, the way they did,
right?
And so many events.
Yeah.
I want to know how you deal with the fans, because we have so many fans that are there forever. They are loyal. And do they?
Yeah,
Where can we tell the listeners, you know, if they have something that they want to be autographed? Give it a little shout out of where we can find you?
Oh, okay, I have a P.O. box. It's P.O. box 134, and that's in South Pasadena, California, 91031.
Okay,
and
good.
And it's always
on
my social medias, too. You can always just send me a direct message, and I can, you know, answer any questions if anybody has them.
Okay, good. And where do you like to do your social media the most? Do you like Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter? What's your favorite?
It's between, I would say, the higher end of actually getting me to respond would be Facebook or Instagram. I'm not on my Twitter that much.
Okay. So, everybody, do that. And now you have this show.
with some of your highlights of your career with Playboy. And you know what I really would love to see after talking to you and hearing all of this is those high fashion ads and those magazines that you were in, because I never knew that about you. I would love to see all of those modeling shots.
Fine.
Do you have them somewhere?
I do. I have a few of them. A lot of it, you know. I have a few of them. I'll have to. I'll post them. I'll do some of my bigger posts. I did a Bijou was a big one. I worked with them a few times. I did, but the most famous Bijou ad I did was on a big huge billboard on Melrose, and it was a bride scene, and I was one of the bridesmaids.
Oh, I love having a billboard. That's always exciting.
Right. It was so weird, though. You know, like, I'm driving. I used to see in the magazine. I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm in a magazine, and I'm driving it. Look, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm on a billboard.
I know. That's the ultimate, I think. I've had a couple of billboards myself, and I had to go down there and run across the street while a photographer took pictures. And so I always have that because they take it down, then you don't have the picture of it. So, what?
No, I never got the picture. Yeah. I wish I had, but it was like, wow, I'm on the billboard. What?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Somebody's got to have that. Put that all on Instagram, your body of work. Everybody wants to see that, Donna.
They want to see what?
They want to see all of your body of work that you've done for all of it. Yeah. Put it on Instagram every day. You could put a new picture on there for years. You'll have a new picture every day.
Oh, yeah, I've got a few. I loved it. A lot of stuff I didn't get pictures of. They didn't, like, send me things when they were supposed to send me stuff. But, you know, I loved the experience. I loved being able to see that side of it and, you know, the prettiness of it, the ugliness of it. It was a great adventure, and I have to say that I got really blessed that I was able to travel the way I got to. You know, most people wait their entire lives, if ever, to be able to travel the way I got to. And many of us got
right.
to. But
see really, places that you never would have chosen for a vacation, say. But just from your work, you were able to see places like you would never have gone, I think. I mean, I never would have gone to Russia, I don't think.
No. I mean, I got to be in Paris, and I got to be in Milan, and I got to be in Tokyo. I got to go to, you know, I got to be in all these big, huge, nice Rio de Janeiro and whatnot. It was just a great experience in general of my life. I can't complain.
It really broadens you. Like, you know what? When you travel like that, you understand fully what broadening your horizons really means. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it really opens up your mind. And it's hard to explain you do it.
Yep, and you see different cultures and different lifestyles, and it's like, this is not how the world lives. This is, you know, California is definitely not, you know, the East Coast, and the East Coast isn't, you know, the South. And then you go to these other countries, and the way the culture is and the way people are is just a whole new ballgame, and it's really interesting, and it's so nice to be a part of it.
It really is. Wow, that's wonderful. And did you say that you had... I don't know if I asked you, siblings, brothers or sisters?
I have sisters. I
You have a sister.
How do I make this as condensed as possible? I grew up in a foster home, but biologically I have three half-sisters. We all have the same mom. We all have different dads. One of them I grew up with in the same foster home who actually ended up adopting us much later on in life. And then I have a half-sister that I still talk to on the East Coast. The other one I do not talk to. I'm not close to them. I'm not close to my mom, the biological egg donor, I call her, honestly. I'm not close with, but I do have siblings. I do have nieces and nephews. And it's really nice to be part of that and still kind of have a little bit
wonderful.
Of a connection. Yeah.
That's wonderful. It's like you have had a charmed life. I mean, you had foster parents that were wonderful, it sounds like, and nothing bad. Wow.
No. I got really, I mean, my life in general has been very blessed. I mean, I could complain. I mean, everyone has a reason they can complain or say, oh, I'm this way because of this. I had a great growing up, you know, especially with what's going on right now. I grew up in a home that had foster children of all colors. I had Vietnamese refugees in the house. We had foreign exchange students from Japan that would come through. I had such a large, you know, different type of cultures going through. So at a very young age, I learned about different cultures and how things were. So
oh, wow, Donna. I had no idea.
Yeah. I know, right? I know. I have a very crazy
life.
But, so
that
that's
is
really,
really interesting.
You see what's going on now. It's like,
yes,
I don't understand it.
It's all the racism. Yeah, me neither. Me too. Me too. My dad always instilled that in us, to love everybody. Everybody's equal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't understand it either, Donna. I really don't. It is sad. You know what? I like it that there is a big change happening. And something really big had to happen for it to change.
I agree.
And it's happening now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
wonderful.
Of it happened, but you know, it's great that it is happening. It needed to. It really did.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
So that is great. Wow, now we know the whole story. I don't know why I was coming to ask you that. I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Well,
crazy,
one more thing. One more thing though, because we know that you have amazing longevity as a model and you're still modeling. But what else have you done besides modeling? Do you do any kind of other business?
Well, I'm a dental assistant, but I love to cook. So I actually make cheesecakes, and I've done it for friends. You know, I do a lot of people want me to do, like, what do you call it, the pre-made for the week food type thing. But no, I love what I do, and everyone always asks me, you know, why don't you open a restaurant, this and that, and I said, you know what, I don't want to not love what I do, and I like my sanity, so a restaurant would not help that situation at all.
No,
but,
I heard that that is one of the hardest businesses.
Dinner one night.
Yeah, oh, I would love that. Well, I've never even met Johnny. Johnny lives in Florida. I've never met him in face-to-face.
Oh, there you go.
But when
he
comes to visit... He had a flight out, and then he had to cancel the trip because of the coronavirus. So that was a letdown. But when he comes out, that'd be fun, right, Johnny? Over to Donna's.
Yes.
I'll make y'all dinner.
That'll be a treat.
And I'll make it.
Okay. Wow. And I didn't know that about you. I'm gonna love that. I love cooking too, and I love eating. For sure.
I know, that's my problem.
Donna.
I love to eat.
I know.
So,
we all do.
I know that. Actually, if you go on my Instagram, most of it's like either selfies or food. So there you go.
Now I know why.
Yes, I love.
I would like to take you up on that, and I'm so serious. And I want you to come down too for a beach day with Echo and I. I just arrived to Echo's new place, so I don't know exactly where I'm going. I'm just pulling over, but I don't know what place, what door I'm going to. But that was perfect timing. So
perfect
thank you
timing.
So much for coming on again.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wanted to do the little. Thank you, and it was so interesting. You know what? Doing this show has been wonderful for me, and this new Playboy Playmate series, just finding out things about people that I've known. I've known you for all these years, and I just found out so much more.
Oh, it's Donna.
You know, when you're just like chatting, you don't find this out. What, Johnny?
Yeah. Do you have Roku, Donna?
Roku. Yeah, I have Roku TV.
Okay. We and Barbara, we are making a Roku channel. We are on the Roku channel. And if I send you a link, can you go on there and then subscribe and then leave us a 5-star rating? Because I need to get up to 100. I'll send you the link via text message. Okay.
Oh, are we still on
problem.
The air? Okay.
We're no longer on the air, right?
Thank you.
No, we're still on the
air. We are. Okay.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
hey.
Why don't you watch it first, and if you like it, then give us the rating that you
there
think
you
we
go.
Deserve. Then
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Thank
of
you.
Course.
And you know what? Maybe we could have Donna come, and we could learn a recipe. We can have her cook.
There you go.
And
on the
TV
yeah.
channel. Yeah, that'd be fun.
There you go.
I would love it. Okay.
All right.
And you
could
teach some basics. Well, thanks. I'm just gonna do the shout out and close the show. So hang on tight for 30
right.
seconds. I just want to tell
no
the
problem.
Listeners, you'll be able to hear this show with our Playboy Playmate of the day, Donna, who we just love and adore, and you're gonna be able to hear her show 30 minutes after Johnny puts it up on our YouTube channel, which is Life, Laughter, Happiness. And then come by Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We're there. And we also have a website, Life, Laughter, Happiness. So we want to
awesome.
Hear from you. Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And
thank you,
Donna,
for having
again.
Me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
See you soon.
Thank you,
Donna. Thank
you, Barbara.
Girlfriend, I will tell her. I will tell her. I'm sure she loves you.
All
right.
Love you.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you guys
okay.
so much. All right.
Thank
bye.
You. And now-